John chapter 3, we looked at the gospel and belief. Of course, belief is a big, big, big part of any gospel study. If you search on belief or believer or believing or such things, believes, you'll hit a lot of verses. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." That's added, I think. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe or obey is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for showing us your word. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can believe, and that believing is the means by which we can know you. Well, it's amazing because, Lord, we expect in our day that things like this, in fact, the whole world believes, that to have something like salvation requires some special work, some special place in society, some religious position among higher-ups that the Pharisees would know, the Sadducees would know, the scribes would know. But for common people to know is really harder. But in fact, it's easy as far as the concept. We know it's hard to submit, it's hard to repent, it's all those things that are overcome by your Spirit, we could never overcome. The Lord to believe and on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved is a great gift, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a big thing on. I'm going to reserve a time in this series on the gospel to cover what is being done in the Southern Baptist Convention these days, and not just the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a lot of people who are caught up in the social justice movement. Now, that's not a church movement. Social justice warriors are trying to make things, as they see it, equal in society. Racism, sexism, gender things, all those things. You know, there's this postmodernism undercurrent in the world right now that says that there's really, you can't say things are right or wrong, and there's been injustice in the past. I mean, and it happened hundreds of years ago, and so we have to somehow, in the mathematical weirdness that they have, we're going to make it right today by, if this group had privileges in the past, well, we're going to address those in the present directly. And it happened with the Southern Baptist Convention, this thing with Beth Moore. Beth Moore was one of the ones that was put forth as being a president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that was going to fix decades of disrespect to women and those kinds of things. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but a lot of these things are not meant to make sense. It's meant to show the world that we're concerned about this, and we're so concerned about it that we're willing to violate the Bible in order to fix it, basically. And you would think, the way I worded it, that nobody would do it who is one of us, but people who are one of us too often go down this same road. Some called Beth Moore the Esther of our time. You know, she's here for such a time as this. Well, such a time as this is no different than such a time as any other time. We're not to abandon the scriptures and seek a solution to societal problems by social interaction with various groups, social justice. Social justice is not about justice, it's about injustice, basically. It's about injustice now to balance injustice in the past. It's to then make everything unjust, and then everything will be okay because we were bad to this group just like they were bad to another group at another time. It's something I would think that preachers of the gospel would never touch, but there again, that's something I would think. Well, we got a thing this morning in the mail, and this is a video, 5-week video series, 5-week video series, it's free, from the North American Mission Board, Your Church and Racial Reconciliation. So here we go, we're going to finally tackle this problem of racial divide. Isn't it about time, 2018, that finally, after all these years, the Southern Baptist, the North American Mission Board, is going to tackle this thing and make this all better somehow? Well, you know, it was tackled centuries ago. It was tackled by the verse we looked at this morning, Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That was when it was tackled. How do you heal the natural hatred that people have toward each other for various differences, like race differences? And that works on every side of the aisle. People are naturally, you know, divided. The whole gospel purpose was to join, for example, Jews and Gentiles back in one body. That's what the gospel did. It's already done that. That has already been done. So if you want to have a 5-week video series, and this is by J.D. Greer and Dottie Lewis, D-H-A-T-I, I don't know who that is. I think Greer is the new Southern Baptist Convention president, isn't he? Greer? They were big about, you know, balancing out feminism by having a woman be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, it sounds like it's a lot of you know, running around the barn 10 or 15 times and not realizing there's already a door in the barn. You just go in the barn if you want to. And I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know anything about the video series. I read the description of it. This is going on more and more, is that we are moving away from the gospel to fix things. Social justice concerns. Social justice warrioring is a recent thing. A black young person is shot by a white police officer. It's considered social injustice, but it's not unless there was actual injustice. The other way around is the same thing. A black police officer shoot a white person, it's not injustice unless there was something wrong done to where the police officer acted improperly. I'll deal with that on another occasion in full. But everywhere in the Bible, all social injustice, the poor, that's not necessarily injustice. People are poor, some are rich. It doesn't mean there was injustice. But if you want to talk about equality of finances, the poor and the rich, the sick, those who are wealthy, the higher ups, the lower downs, all that is, the answer is always in the Bible, the gospel. And here on this occasion, with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews and a man of the Pharisees, you talk about someone on the wrong side of the tracks. At the very start, it's Nicodemus. The Pharisees, although they were the conservatives theologically, the Sadducees were the liberals theologically. Well, here's a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews, and those two groups, the Pharisees and the religious elite, those were the most active opposers of Jesus Christ. And he came by night because he would not want to be seen coming to Jesus in the daytime, because his friends are going to really be mad. Now imagine that. Your religious group can't be seen with Jesus lest you get ridiculed by those of your group. There's something really wrong there. But he came because he's concerned, he's interested. He's not in the same boat exactly as the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer had a job that was not respected in society greatly. It was a necessary job. It was a worthy job and something somebody needed to do. But he was not a ruler. He was not an uppity person in society. But he was concerned about his soul, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the way Nicodemus says it, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus' signs were always a problem for the Pharisees. It's like a global warming when it's not hot and the ocean hasn't risen as much as they say it's going to. That's a problem for that theory, man-made climate change. So they explain around it somehow. Well, with Jesus doing miracles, and he was not of their group, and he did not proclaim the same message that they proclaimed, they had to say things like, "Well, we know a notable miracle has been done, but so that no one else talks about it, let's command them not to tell anybody else anymore about Jesus." Because they tried with the apostles, but they wouldn't listen to them. So he recognizes that Jesus is doing miracles, so he recognizes that Jesus is from God. Because he couldn't do what he's doing unless he came from God. And he's a teacher. And so the things that he says are supported by the miracles, so that Nicodemus is in a bit of a pickle. Because he's showing power from God and blessing from God. And the basic Pharisaical doctrine would be Jesus is not from God. In fact, they even said, "This man eats with sinners. He can't be from God. This woman is a sinner. He can't be from God, or he would know not to eat with her." That's the way they thought. So he confesses a fact. He believes that Jesus came from God because of the things that he did. And Jesus answers and says, "Most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, what he's saying there in parallel to what we looked at this morning is that unless you believe in me in this case, unless you believe, unless you're born again, being born again is a stands with belief. Belief is something, if you talk about regeneration and conversion, conversion is what we see, regeneration is what God does that would bring about the conversion. That's just when you compare and contrast the two basic things. We believe, but we don't believe, and then God saves us as much as God saves us as part of our believing. Our believing is our responsibility, our duty to do, and we do that when God draws us. So Jesus is saying here, you can't camp on that. You can't say, like a lot of people say, I think Jesus is a very nice person and does a lot of nice things and was very compassionate. When you talk about social justice things, our Lord was all about that. But not social justice like we would call it. He was about bringing comfort to those who are sick and the lowliest of people and the most sinful, tax collectors and harlots. Jesus said, come into the kingdom of God before you Pharisees. He reached down to them. They were ignored and abandoned. The woman with the issue of blood came, touched the hem of his garment. It was gone. That was compassion. That's true concern instead of what we see today. But just to believe the things, the facts. No. So he says you must be born again. Being born again is another thing to say. That's another word for regeneration. We're generated when we're born. That's the natural process. We're generated. And regeneration is then being born again. We're born twice. And so Nicodemus scratches his head and says, well, how can a man be born when he is old? I mean, he's already been born. Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born? I have to believe he didn't really think that was possible. But he's at least befuddled, or he brings it up. He's wondering what that can be. You've got to be born again. Well, it could be in his mind. He's thinking, well, we got born in sin, and so we got to be born without sin one time. How can we do that? So Jesus answers that. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, again, the same thing. You have to be born again. When people see water there, and I don't know, I may be wrong, but I've said for some years that to me, he is still saying what he said in verse 3. Some say it's mentioning baptism as a sign of being saved. I just think that makes it overly complicated. What did he say in verse 3? Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What does he say in verse 5? I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, first and second, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Being born of water to me is natural birth, the first birth. Whenever a woman is pregnant, I've heard this, never experienced it myself, but I've heard it, that when her water breaks, buddy, you better be on the way to the hospital. Because something else is coming, and it's coming soon. So that's being born of water. Water is part of that. That would be known by everybody. That's just what happens. I mean, there are connections to salvation and baptism. It shows us being buried with Christ and risen with him and to new life. But to me, that's from the cross and the work of Jesus more than, you know, having a baby. So you're born one time of water. You're born the second time by the Spirit. The Spirit is the agent, the power of being reborn. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. That which is born of the flesh. Everybody is born of the flesh, so everybody is in a standing of flesh by virtue of being born. And so Jesus says, unless you get another birth, you can't go to heaven. And so he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Being born of the Spirit is the second birth. So that you are now not just of flesh, you are also of the Spirit. It means you're saved, your spirit has been saved, and now you're born again. The Bible says you have a new life. You're a new person. You get a new heart. Your life is changed, like the Philippian jailer and others we see in Scripture. Do not marvel at that, he says, verse 7, that I said to you, you must be born again. The reason you would marvel at it, like Nicodemus did, is because it's impossible. You cannot do it in the flesh. You cannot do it in the natural world. You can't be born again in the natural world. There's nothing that can make that happen. You're born, and there you are. You can't say, I wanted a girl. We got a boy. Let's put him back in. Let's try again. No, you can't do that. It's done. So Jesus said, don't marvel at that. When I said you must be born again, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So he says he's likening the Spirit to wind. The wind blows here and there, and the Spirit moves here and there and brings to spiritual life whoever he chooses. He is according to the will of the Spirit. The Spirit decides, the Spirit moves, the Spirit produces those who are born again. The natural first birth, that's done by humans. The second, spiritual birth, being born of the Spirit, that is done by the Holy Spirit. That is the power of salvation. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus said, do not marvel in verse 7 and verse 9. Nicodemus is still marveling. He can't get a grasp of it because it's a different thing. The world doesn't believe even in a soul. There are all kinds of people. Some guy went to, he died. He's died twice, they said. And he came and said, and they got him back somehow. He said, I got to tell you, there's nothing after death because I didn't experience anything when I was dead. Put that up against like the zillions of people that write books and Lifeway bookstore puts out about this, death experiences, and they go to heaven and, heaven tourism basically by dying, which is another folly. But he's marveling. Jesus says, then Jesus marvels, verse 10, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Heavenly things, of course, being that you must be born again. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, and the Son of Man is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is declaring that he came down from heaven, and he's the one with the authority to say these things. The Pharisees were big on defining the standards themselves. That was one of the reasons they did not believe, because they would not give up their own ideas about what should be. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is another way of saying that they were born again. Believing is part of that whole thing. If a person is born again, they believe. If they believe, they've been born again. That is, they go together. If a person believes without being born again, that is insufficient belief. It's just like the demons who believe and don't get saved. Or it's like those in 1 Corinthians who believed in vain. There are people who do that. That happens a whole lot ever since the invitation system was run into the church. Want to be saved? Come forward. Come forward. That was a Charles Finney thing. Come forward. He had anxious seats. The first row would be reserved for people who were anxious about their salvation. And that turned into more coming forward and praying a prayer or getting on the back of a tract, praying the prayer there, and that you were believing. It's been termed by some, I think, quite excellently as decisionism. Decisionism being, if you make a decision, you're saved. That's not ever used in the Bible. In the Bible, you repent and believe, and that is, as we saw this morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So, Jesus then is saying here that you must place your faith, whoever believes in Him, the Son of Man, will not perish, but have eternal life. Well, eternal life, you trace back up to verse 3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You want to be a spiritual person, you're born of the Spirit. And so Jesus repeating that in verse 5, in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You trace back down to verse 15, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That is your second birth. Eternal life, kingdom of God. They're connected. And then the familiar John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that whole context there, of course, is that you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit causes to be born again. Peter talked about that, that God is caused to be born again to a living hope. That comes from God. Salvation is of the Lord. Belief is what we see of that and what our duty is to do. And believing is then the answer to the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus is here because of the love of God, not because of our worthiness. Well, you always hear some people say, oh God, how I don't think much of myself, but you must have thought something of me because you sent your Son to die for me. That is exactly the wrong thing to say. That is exactly the wrong way to put it. It had nothing whatsoever to do with us. God didn't look and say, well, you know, that person, he's got such a low self-esteem, but I really love him. I see something in him. I'm going to send my Son to die for him. That's folly. That's heresy. It was totally by grace. And God, it's the love of God. God loving the world so much that He gave even His Son. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That first coming of Christ was not for judgment. Remember when Jesus read the verse from Isaiah in the temple, and He said the day of salvation, the acceptable year of the Lord. And then He stopped there before He got to the next thing about the vengeance part. Well, He came to save and not to condemn. And so that is why He's there. Because of the love of God being worked out in our world by the coming of Christ. And that coming of Christ is the one and only means by which we would be able to be saved. And verse 18 is very similar. This is condemnation, that the light has come to the world, but men love darkness. He who believes in Him is not condemned. You know, there's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, Paul says in Romans. But he who does not believe, now I said, or does not obey, I said that because of verse, if you look to verse 36, he believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he does not believe the Son. The better translation, he does not obey the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Believing and obedience to the gospel is believing. But he says in verse 18, he does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't become unsaved by not believing. If you don't believe, it's just that you're already unsaved. You're condemned already. And that is revealed by the fact that you won't believe. You won't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There he is. That is the same as being born again as far as it all coming together. The Spirit causes to be born again. That is salvation by grace. And, you know, once that happens, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Those who are saved do works that show that they've been born again by God, that their works have been wrought in God. That like James says, faith without works is dead. Faith produces works. But you'll find that people who don't want to face their sin don't want the gospel to be preached. And I have to say, I'm afraid to say it, it's increasingly more our churches don't want the gospel to be preached, because I've gone all my life heard about, you know, for counseling, counselors are not supposed to use the Bible because it might make people feel more guilty. And they're already having a hard time. And so, some of the advice that some give is, don't go to a church where there's preaching. That's just going to make people worse. Remember what the parable of the sower and the soils, the devil goes and steals away from the hearts the word that was spoken, lest it bear fruit in the life of the person. That is the seed sown by the wayside. And the devil is very active in removing that, to discredit the Bible, to act like others who are professionals have a better answer, or those who are social justice warriors. That's more important in the world right now than Jesus Christ and the gospel. And it's wrong. All the things that these social justice warriors see, and I'll get back to it sometime in the future, all the things they say they want, healing of society and equality and all that, the gospel fixes all that. And pursuing it in and of itself, I'm afraid we'll see in time to come, it's already happening, we'll see it being another means of abandoning the gospel and trying to find an answer the same way Congress does, God help us, or a mob in the street, is they do not want to come to the light of the gospel, so they want to come to something that people accept. People won't accept the gospel. They'll accept us if we show that we're concerned about racism and we're concerned about transgenderism and we're concerned about feminism. And we're concerned about homophobia. And we're concerned about all these other things. You know, the social gospel was this thought that, you know, we can't reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but if we feed them and clothe them, we can reach them that way. And that's fine. And we've done that, and that's proper. But then it replaced the gospel. And so people are concerned, yeah, that's better than the gospel. We're showing concern. We're showing that we love you. We hear you, in other words. They're not hearing anybody. They're not hearing Jesus. Because Jesus says, unless you're born again, you can't go to heaven. And the gospel says these things that are troubling the world are results of sin, and sin is dealt with by the gospel. Hello? Well, we don't need to get away from that. So believing in being born again, that's the answer Paul gave. Oh, he didn't say, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, you know, that's a complicated question. There's so many ideas about this. There's so many angles we can talk about here. I mean, there's the Eastern mysticism thing. There's the Jewish angle. There's Buddhism and all that in the East. There's the various cults. There's the natural belief. Some people, you say, what's your belief? And they say their belief is spiritual. Well, what is that? That's an adjective. It's very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Very simple. Unless a man is born again, He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Pretty plain. Let's all stand. Kevin, would you dismiss it?